In the Conference Committee on House File 1812, and Senator Cohen and I had a chance to meet earlier today and make our first major decision. We flipped a coin to determine who would be the chair tonight, and I won. So Senator Cohen will be the chair.
Little does he know, though. Happy to begin the conference committee. Let me just at the outset make a couple of comments. Obviously, we're going to rotate the chair day to day, and Representative Carlson will be chairing the conference committee tomorrow. But for both members and the public who are here, just a couple of comments at the outset. First in terms of the process just a couple of small points. The expectation is that this will be the permanent room for the conference committee. At least at this point, that's the expectation until we hear otherwise. Second, I understand that there was some concern because of the large number of chairs reserved behind the conferees. And as everybody in this room knows, we have a significant number of budget divisions in the House and the Senate. And so the reservation of chairs are for the chairs, the division chairs, who are not serving as official conferees, because I think it's both the expectation of Representative Carlson and myself that those chairs will be heavily involved in the promulgation of this bill, certainly as we present their particular articles in the bill, but throughout this process. And so we want to make sure that those chairmen have access to the conference committee. Second, this worked out very well on the Senate side when we had the supplemental finance bill about 10 days ago in Senate Finance Committee. But everybody gets a lot of amusement from the distribution of spreadsheets and the rest of the material to watch everybody just kind of dash up to the front. And over the years, it's been the source of, like I said, great amusement. But what worked out well, at least on the Senate side, is we'll distribute it as you're sitting there. You don't have to worry about jumping up. We'll when we start getting into the discussion, we'll have it distributed by the staff. Lastly, for public members, please, whatever material you bring here, please take out with you. Otherwise, there's every chance that it gets tossed. And it would certainly, even if you intended to toss it, it would certainly help in terms of staff time. So, separate from those couple of comments, Representative Carlson and I have had several meetings over these last several days to talk about not only the process of this bill, but what we hope to accomplish. And we recognize that this is not a particularly pleasant process. You know, it was a lot more fun in, say, 2001 or 2000, you know, that particular non-budget year when we had a huge surplus. And what we were all about then was to see how we could augment some of the needed programs for the state. And obviously what this bill is all about is cutting. I made the comment on the Senate floor a couple of times that at least insofar as to where we are today, I don't ascribe any blame to anybody, whether it be within this building or across the street in the state office building. We can talk about the lack of revenues in the state budget. We can talk about whether or not we are spending money appropriately. But there's no question that what leads us to this particular bill are economic circumstances beyond the control of anyone. In the latter part of August, Dr. Stinson requested a meeting with separate meetings with Representative Carlson and Representative Solberg, with myself and with the governor, talk about some very significant problems that had appeared with the economy. He talked to us about Global Insights revised economic projections, which he made clear took place in a very unusual way in early August. One of the significant parts of that was the fact that the price of oil per barrel had not stabilized at the approximately mid-70s rate that had been anticipated in the February forecast of last year. But what he emphasized with us in these meetings was that Global Insight had revised their forecast downward prior to the mid-August subprime crisis, which has created havoc with not just simply the mortgage market, but with the basis of credit in this country. And obviously, those circumstances are not the fault of Governor Plenty, Senate Majority, House Minority, House Majority, Senate Minority. And that's certainly what leads us to where we are right now. Having said that, I take the position that it's our constitutional obligation to provide a balanced budget. There is very little in the state constitution that mandates what a legislature and a governor must or must not do. But one of the things in the Constitution is the provision that we need to have a balanced budget. And it would be my hope and expectation that we finish this conference committee, whenever we finish it, with a budget that will work leading into next year. Certainly, we understand that the forecast from February suggests a significant deficit for the 10-11 biennium. And I know it's the fear of everyone in the room that as things progress this year or regress this year, that economic circumstances might put us in even worse shape come next year, which makes it even more incumbent upon us to try to attempt to do something this year. I don't know, Representative Carlson, if it's fair to suggest, but we had a very productive meeting this morning with Commissioner Hansen. At least I thought it was very productive. We did not discuss details of what was going to happen in this conference committee, but certainly on the surface, I thought it was productive and was a meeting that would hopefully put us off to a good start. And I'd like to think that if the combination of Senate conferees, the Senate, House conferees, the House, and the administration proceed in good faith, that we can try to have some resolution this session to what we face. Certainly, I think all of us would agree that a resolution on the part of this conference committee is certainly preferable to the governor having to utilize the entirety of the budget reserve and unallot. I'm not going to speak for the governor, but I would think the governor would not want to do that. I don't think any of us at this table would want him to be forced into that circumstance. And so I'm hoping we'll proceed in a way that will keep that from not happening by making sure that we proceed. Having said that, finally, this is a tough bill. The comments I made on the Senate floor were that in a perfect world, I wouldn't have voted for the Senate file. In a perfect world, I wouldn't have voted for the House file. And that's not to belittle the work done by any of us in the House or the Senate. This isn't a perfect world. And so I think if we understand that this is not the most pleasant of bills, I do think it's a very necessary bill. So, Representative Carlson.
Well, just a few comments, and I would concur. I think we did have a good meeting this morning with the commissioner, and as like you say, it wasn't designed for providing detail, but what we did want to do was open up communication between the executive and this conference committee, and so we still extend that offer that be done on a continuing basis, because ultimately we do want to put on the governor's desk a bill, and hopefully in the end a bill that we can come to an agreement on between the House, the Senate, and the executive. I would like to point out that as we go through the bill, you will see that there are a number of points where the House and Senate agree, and quite frankly, a number of points where we agree with the executive. And I think as we move forward, perhaps that's a good beginning point to emphasize the points of agreement, and then as we move forward, perhaps begin to deal with some of the more difficult issues. With that, Mr. Chairman, having won the toss and turning the gavel over to you, maybe we should start with the business of the evening.
Yeah, and let me just indicate to members and others, what we're going to do is first have Mr. Mossman and Mr. Marks take us through the overall budget numbers. We're trying to proceed as quickly as possible, and we don't have available full side-by-sides for all the divisions. And so as this becomes available, and hopefully, and I'm not sure if we'll have everything available by tomorrow or not, but as side-by-sides become available, we will have the respective chairs of those divisions, if they're not conferees, join us at the table, present along with their fiscal analysts an explanation of what they did within their articles. The best guess is, I don't think it's the best guess at this point, but that this afternoon the only article that's ready is the transportation article. So we'll, in a few minutes, have a discussion with Representative Leader and Senator Murphy relative to that particular article. But what we'd like to do at the outset, and we'll see if this process works, because we'll have, I don't know, Jane, Joanna.
I think we just got the education.
Oh, did we? Okay. We'll have Jane, Joanna, and staff distribute whatever we have available for people. And let's just wait. Should
not state government. State government, not education.
The spreadsheet out right now to the public members, or we have it.
Yeah. So we'll pass out the spreadsheet.
I think we'll just have to pass on it because we don't have to notify the state government.
No, I know Betsy came home in our conference committee.
Maybe we should. Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe what we're talking about here, so everybody's clear, it was, and maybe it'll still happen. We had the transportation article. We were told about 4 o'clock we were going to get the education article, but the one that they just brought down was the state government finance article. So we'll have to see if the education one, Mr. Chairman, comes before we get too far into the meeting, because that was the one that was supposed to arrive. But
and Representative Carlson, we've got Senator Betzel here, so we might be prepared to go on half of it, but I don't know if Representative Kahn is available. But let's proceed with and we're distributing these spreadsheets. We'll begin during the distribution. We'll proceed with a general discussion of the spreadsheet in terms of the general numbers. I'm not sure between Mr. Marks and Mr. Mossman what you've worked out. I'm going to start with Mr. Mossman.
All right, Mr. Chair and members, what we thought is that what we would first do is just orient people to the spreadsheet and go over, because conference committee jurisdictions differ somewhat from the jurisdictions in the House and the Senate, respectively, to just kind of overview a little bit how those what those changes are. The spreadsheet that you have before you, I think the members at the table have colored copies, shows the governor, Senate, and House positions from left to right, organized by the conference committee jurisdiction, which is similar to the conference committee jurisdiction that was used last year. For the Senate, for members who have been following and others who have been following the budget bills in the Senate, and we'll highlight these when we get to the areas as well. The primary changes that you would see is in the economic development and environment and energy area, where in the Senate, the Department of Commerce Division of Energy programs are in the environment and economic development division. Those and the non-energy parts of commerce are in the Senate Economic Development Budget. In the Conference Committee jurisdiction, all of those provisions are in the environment and energy areas. So they'll be on lines 22 through 28 of the spreadsheet when we get to that. The other change from the bill structure as it came through the Senate, a more modest one, is in the reserves and cash flow area. Those provisions were in the state government article, and you'll just see them pulled out separately here, and they won't be shown with state government per se. And then also on taxes, the Senate has a separate tax bill, and while those numbers are in the overall tracking here, they are not reflected in the side-by-side for this bill at this time.
Mr. Chair, members,
Marks.
For the House comparison, a few more changes. What had been the House's early childhood article 3, It doesn't have appropriations, so it's not. It doesn't affect the spreadsheet greatly. It utilizes some existing money, but that should be included as part of the E-12 education comparison when we get there. Higher ed and workforce development in the House, it was Articles 4 for higher ed and Articles 5 for workforce development, will be split. And Article 4 is a higher ed, and compared with the Senate's higher education one, the workforce development portions that were in Article 5 will become part of an economic development article and will make up the majority of the economic development article. There will be a couple other items added, which I'll highlight. Environment and natural resources and energy are just combined here, and that lines up with what Mr. Mossman described as for the Senate. The ag and veterans area is intact, but is also added to that is the military affairs language, appropriations, which had been Article 14 in the House bill. So it's from the House perspective, it's now the agriculture and veterans area plus the military affairs appropriations. A note on state government, state government no longer has military affairs in it. State government is also would also pick up the amateur sports language, which the House didn't have any of, but which would have been considered in the heritage, Minnesota heritage area. And then the other item in the House is Minnesota heritage, which was Article 16. The sesquicentennial appropriation to the Historical Society will move to the economic development area. And then the housing and public health area that the House had, Article 7 of that, which was the housing, will move to economic development. Article 18, which was the health portion, will move to the health and human services area. And then finally, just to note, what's a new area for the House, the economic development area, as I've mentioned, has primarily the workforce language, but also then housing and the Historical Society language from that had been in the Minnesota Heritage area.
Then, Mr. Chair and members, actually going to start on page 3. If you flip to page 3 of the side-by-side, again, just to start with the big picture and then move into the individual budget areas. On line 68, then there is the budget problem, if you will, as per the February 2007 state budget forecast, showing a deficit of $934.6 million. Then on line 70 through 82 is the summary of the legislation passed so far this session, and then the other bills category starting on line 77, including this bill, that are pending before the legislature at this time. So if you will see, lines 72 through 75 are the impact of the transportation finance bill, the first tax bill with the federal conformity in it, the deficiency bill, and the capital expenditure costs for the bonding bill recently enacted. The one comment I would say there that the Senate and House positions have been updated to reflect the position of the bonding bill, whereas the governor's numbers there have not. Those are the numbers that the governor originally recommended. And we left it that way so that it ties out to the governor's bottom line as he proposed it in February. Then the other bills, there are the victims' compensation bill, as you know, pending before the legislature, and then two minor bills, the regular claims bill, and there's a lands bill. The Senate is anticipating having a bill related to that also, but at this time does not have a Senate position on that yet, and so there's nothing showing there, but I anticipate it'll be similar. Then the tax bill, Senate File 2869, I mentioned at the outset that the Senate does not have its tax provisions in this bill, but in a separate bill, so you'll find the Senate's position on taxes on this line here as we go along. And then finally, line 82 is the net of the omnibus supplemental budget provisions that you have before you now. And you can see that the corresponding provisions for fiscal 2008-2009 for the governor would be net savings of $967.5 million, for the Senate $832.1 million, and for the House $997.6 million. Again, a significant difference there on the Senate being that the Senate has its tax bill one line above that. Then just dropping down to line 86, you see that all of these bills taken together, the governor's budget as proposed in early March would have left a bottom line of $1.2 million, and reflecting the legislation that has been enacted, the Senate's current position would have a net general fund balance of $2.2 million and the House about $4 million. There may well be, as spreadsheets get cleaned up and other estimates get cleaned up, some modest adjustments to these provisions in the next few days, but this is where we're at for today.
Let me just make a couple of comments. Obviously, as Mr. Mossman emphasized, these are general fund expenditures. So, for instance, if you look at 78 and you see the expenditure for the bridge victims' compensation, indicates the governor is proposing only $20 million, but as I think members are aware, he proposed $20 million from the general fund and $20 million from the trunk highway fund. And putting aside whether, you know, that should be or should not be done, I just want to make sure people understand we're dealing with the general fund. Second, I want to emphasize what Mr. Mossman mentioned relative to the differences between the House and the Senate in terms of the omnibus tax bill. Senate has passed a tax bill, two tax bills that are totally separate from this bill. Obviously, I worked closely with Senator Bach in determining how we would handle the apportionment of monies going toward the deficit. Representative Carlson, I know that you made a decision somewhat different in terms of incorporating some tax provisions in this bill. And so obviously, we're not making any judgment at this point as to what happens with tax provisions. We'll have to have further conversations with Senator Bach and Representative Lencheski relative to that. And the last comment I wanted to make is that probably don't want to totally reprise discussions from last year, but the numbers we have talked about are without inflation. And members might recall that was an issue last year. I think people recall that, I think. So when you look at, say, line 68, the budget problem for 10-11, that is without an inflation figure included. And obviously we'd like to try to, as this conference committee works, at least Representative Carlson speaking, I'm not going to speak for anybody other than myself, but I'm guessing we're all in agreement. We'd like to make a pretty significant start toward dealing with 10-11. You know, the reality is that we probably won't be including inflation in that 10-11 number. So just a couple of comments I wanted to supplement Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Marks.
Just add something here for the House perspective. The number showing up here, $4 million bottom line balance, I've been telling House members for the last couple of weeks we had about $1.8 million on the bottom line. The difference here now is that the enacted capital bill is factored in, which didn't spend as much money as we were anticipating. So that's the difference from the $1.8 million that we've been talking about for a couple weeks.
And I'm sure as we sit here, Representative Rukavina is thinking, how can I get that money to the range as quickly as possible?
I've given up.
Mr. Chair, members, the corresponding circumstance for the Senate number, the difference between the 2.2 and the 114,000 we were at last week, is the change in the net impact of the bonding bill. Mr. Chair, members, then
Representative Carlson,
just your comment about the next biennium and entails, and you and I haven't talked a lot about that, other than I think this morning we referenced it when we met with the commissioner. But I would encourage the conferees that we keep that as a priority as we move forward, so that we can begin to not only solve the issues that are before us this year, but begin to see what we can do to reduce those deficits for the outcoming biennium as well. And we did do that on the House side, and hopefully we can, as this goes through and we look at what the Senate did and what the House did, we can even improve on what we both did in the end.
Well, there's no question. If we don't make a good head start relative to the 10-11 budget, just wait till next year. And it's going to be bad enough as it is absent some miraculous turnaround, which nobody expects. It's going to be impossible to deal with next year. And certainly, in looking at these numbers, I do need to add a defense of the Senate number. because I think everybody's aware that in the Senate we made the decision to try to provide some property tax relief in the Senate tax bill. And so that's the principal difference between the House and the Senate relative to a remainder of a projected deficit. Mr. Bosman.
Mr. Chair and members, then next, if you'd turn back to page one, I think we would just walk through and we can just we'll go through the spending, the net, I should say, net spending and net revenue changes for each of the budget areas according to the conference committee structure. And again, then these nets would be what rolls up to page, to line 82 on page 3. And what we discussed is that I'll just go through a couple of them and then turn it over to Mr. Marks to run through some, and we'll go back and forth. Mr. Chair and members, then on lines 1 through 4 on the front page is the E-12 Education Budget Division in fiscal 2008. And there are no revenues in either the House, Senate, or governor's position here. So the net spending changes in the governor's position was a savings of $2.392 million for 08-09 for the Senate, a savings of $1.144 million, and for the House, a net spending of $22.869 million. The difference, or the amount there for the Senate, largely reflecting Department of Education agency cuts. For 10-11, then, the governor's position was a net spending of $11.5 million, the Senate a net savings of $6.7 million, and for the House in 10 and 11, a net spending of $3.6 million. For higher education, the governor proposed reducing spending for higher education by $51.8 million in 2008-09. And by $107.8 million in the tails. Relative to that position, the Senate proposed reductions in that area equal to $22.9 million in 08-09, with a modest revenue gain from transferring some unspent funds from some special revenue funds to the general fund of $118,000. Then in the tails, the Senate's position would be a net savings of $41.4 million. The House position in fiscal 2008-09 would be a savings of $19.5 million, and then in the tails, a savings of $48.9 million. And again, I would reiterate that relative to the Mr. Marks's comments from earlier, relative to the House committee structure, this reflects then just the higher education provisions of the Higher Education and Workforce Development Committee.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, the Health and Human Services area, and then just a note here then for the House side, this would reflect the Health Care and Human Services Committee as well as the health portion of the Housing and Public Health Committee. The governor's recommendation was a $271 million cut in 2008 and 2009, and then revenues of $255 million, of which $250 million, was a transfer from the Health Care Access Fund. The net effect on the general fund of those two is savings of $526 million. In fiscal 2010 and 11, the governor had reductions of $298 million and revenue items of $4 million, $4.5 million for a net effect of $293 million on the general fund. The Senate in fiscal 2008 and 2009 has reductions of $186 million, revenues of a little over $10 million. Net effect is a negative $196.8 million on the general fund, 2010 and 11. Senate has reductions of $228 million and revenues of $5 million for a net effect of $223. In the House for the Health and Human Services area for fiscal 2008 and 9, the House has reductions of $130 million, net revenue of $1.2 million, so the net effect is negative $131.6 million. In 2010 and 11, reductions of $156 million, revenues of $4.5 million, and the net effect $151.7 million. In the Agriculture, Veterans, and Military Affairs area, And here we've got an extra line on the spreadsheet. We've separated the spending. There is actually no revenue in the Ag and Veterans area, so there's no revenue line for that area, but separating the Ag veterans and the military affairs. The governor has spending in the Ag and Veterans area of $8.5 million, spending in military affairs of $390,000, and then a revenue item, actually a loss of $100,000 for a net effect of $8.96 million in 2008 and 9. In 10 and 11, spending in the Ag and Vets area of $14.7 million, military affairs spending of $1.5 million, and then the revenue item of $200,000, so a net effect of $16.5 million. The Senate in fiscal 2008 and 9 has a spending of $137 million for Ag and Vets, spending of $375 million in the military affairs area, and also the revenue item of $100,000 cost for a net of $612,000 in 2010 and 11, $250,000 for Ag and Veterans spending, negative $250,000, positive $340,000 for the military affairs area, and then the revenue item again of $200,000 for a net of $290,000. The House for 2008 and 9 has spending in the Ag and Veterans area of $4.4 million, the $390,000 in the military affairs area, and no revenue change for a total of $4.8 million. And then for 2010 and 11, spending of $2.3 million in the agriculture and veterans area, $700,000 in military affairs, no revenue changes for a net change of $3 million there.
Mr. Chair and members, on environment and energy then, again, a few more lines here just to help members tie back to the House and Senate jurisdiction somewhat relatively. The environment and energy budget area then on line 23 is the spending in the environment and natural resources area in the governor's position. That would have been a savings of $3.2 million. Well, let me just, it'll be three spending lines there, environment and natural resources, and then the energy spending is separated by the spending changes in the energy division of commerce and the PUC, and then in on line 25, the other divisions of commerce, so that you can tie back to the House or Senate position respectively and see what happens. So in the governor's position, there's a savings of 3.3 in the environment spending, 2.6 in energy, plus 46,000 of an agency cut for the Department of Commerce. In the tails, it's $6.7 million for environment, no change in the other areas of commerce, and then 92,000 agency cut carries forward. In the Senate position, in environment area, there's $3.1 million of savings in 08 and 09, $4.1 million of savings in the PUC Commerce and Energy area, and then no change in the other commerce divisions. In the tails, there's $5.8 million of savings in the environment budget area. Then in the House position in the environment area, there's savings of $3.3 million in 08-09, $2.3 million plus $456,000 in the Department of Commerce for a total of $2.8 million from the Department of Commerce. Tails, a savings of $7 million in the environment area and a savings of $372,000 in the tails. Revenue items, and this is where some of the bigger shifts occurred as the jurisdictions changed. In the environment area, the revenue changes were modest. In the governor's position, there was revenues of $100,000 in 08-09 and $200,000 in the tails in the environment area, and then revenues of $26,500 in 08-09 in the commerce area and $26,500,000 and $22,500,000 in the tails, and that is primarily the securities registration cap and I believe the TAP fund showing up there. Then in the Senate, there is $2 million of revenues in the environment area and $1 million of revenues in the TAILS in the environment area. And then in the economic development or in the Senate, the economic development area or the Commerce Division, there's $51.5 million of revenues in 08-09 and $22.5 million of revenues in 10 and 11. In 08-09 for the House position, then there's $103,000 of revenues in fiscal 08-09 only in the environment area and $9.4 million in the Commerce Department and $1.5 million in the Commerce Department, $1.6 million in the Commerce Department in 10 and 11. The net then for this conference committee jurisdiction going across back to the governor's position would be a net savings of $32.5 million in 08-09 for the in $29.5 million in 10 and 11, and for the Senate, a net savings of $60.7 million in 08-09, $29.3 million in 10 and 11, and for the House, a net savings of $15.6 in 08-09 and $9 million in 10 and 11. Economic development then, this is economic development not for the Senate's position, not including the Department of Commerce provisions, and for the Senate or for the House there would be some other provisions, and Mr. Marks can reiterate that or jump in if you would like. The spending changes then would be for the governor's position, this is a net proposed increase in spending of $10.8 million in 08-09 and $7.4 million in 10 and 11. For the Senate, the spending changes would be a net savings of $2.4 million in 08-09 and $400,000 in 10 and 11. For the House, a net savings of $1.6 million in 08-09 and a net spending of $836,000 in the TAILS. And then the revenue changes here, the governor has a revenue change of $10.2 million in 08-09 and nothing in 10 and 11. The Senate has a net revenue of $16.3 million in 08-09 and $487,000 in the TAILS. And in the House has net revenues of $22.1 million in 08-09 and a net loss of $13,000 in the TAILS. So you can see going across these nearly net out for the governor to a net change to the general fund of an increase in spending of $655,000 in 08-09, an increase in spending of $7.4 million in 10 and 11. For the Senate, a net savings of $18.7 and $87,000 respectively for 08-09 and the TAILS. And then for the House, a net savings of $23.8 million for 08-09 and $849,000 for the TAILS.
Mr. Chair, members, in the transportation area, governor's recommendations were spending cuts of $32 million in fiscal 8 and 9 and $7.8 million in 2010 and 11, and no revenue changes, so those are the total changes there. The Senate has spending reductions of $353,000 in 8 and 9, no changes in 10 and 11, and then revenue of $16.2 million in 8 and 9, $20.4 million in 10 and 11. And so the net changes there for 8 and 9, $16.5 million and $20.4 million in 10 and 11. The House in the transportation area has reductions of $200,000 in 8 and 9, no revenue changes, so that's also the net total. And then $344,000 in 10 and 11, and again, no revenue changes, so that's the total there. The next area is public safety, and the title's at the bottom of the page. The numbers are at the top of the next page. Governor had spending changes, spending reductions of $16.5 million in 8 and 9, a small revenue loss of $50,000, so the net change is also about $16.5 million for 2008 and 9. In 2010 and 11, the governor had spending reductions of $33.8 million, $100,000 revenue loss for a net change of $33.7 million in 2010 and 11. In the public safety area, the Senate has spending reductions of $16 million, has revenue increases of $3.2 million for a net effect of negative $19.2 million on the general fund. In the 2010 and 11, spending reductions of $32.2 million, revenue of $3.1 million for a net change of negative $35.4 million in 2010 and 11. In the public safety area for the House, spending reductions of $9 million in 8 and 9 and revenue of almost $2 million for a net reduction of $11 million. And then in 2010 and 11, spending reductions of $20.9 million, $100,000 revenue loss for a net effect of $20.8 million for 2010 and 11.
Mr. Chair and members, when we were talking about jurisdictional changes, differences from the House and the Senate, I should have mentioned, I believe I failed to do so, that in the Senate has public safety and judiciary in two separate budget divisions, and so the numbers Mr. Marks just gave you is the combination of those two for the Senate. State government, then starting on line 45, the state government budget area. The governor's numbers, the governor proposed an increase in spending in state government of $1.4 million and revenues of $24 million for a net change of a savings of $22.6 million in 08-09. In 10 and 11, the governor's spending changes would have totaled a savings of $15.3 million. Plus an additional $20 million in revenues for a net gain of $35.3 million. In the Senate proposes reductions in state government spending of $12.4 million, plus revenues of $34.3 million for a net savings to the general fund of $46.7 million in 08-09. And in 10 and 11, the spending reduction for the Senate would be $13.2 million, revenues of $52 million for a net savings of $65.2 million. For the House spending changes would be $10.9 million in 08-09 and savings of $32.7 million for a net savings of $21.7 million and in 08-09. And in 10-11, spending reductions of $4.2 million in 10-11 and revenues of $33.4 million in 10-11 for a net savings of $37.6 million. And taxes then, and actually, I don't know, do you want to go through this one? We don't?
You can.
Taxes, this then reflects the governor's full tax position. The governor's tax position would be a there's a spending change of $5.4 million in 08-09 and spending reductions of $87.9 million in 10 and 11. Revenues are $37.3 million in 08-09 and $50.5 million in 10 and 11. So for a net in 08-09 of $42.7 million of net general fund savings, and in 08-09 that is, and in 10-11, $37.4 million of net savings. As I indicated earlier, the Senate has a separate bill, and those numbers are carried, and this just reflects the net only, but on page 3, line 81 for reference, is the net savings to the general fund of $150.1 million in 08-09 and $9.9 million in 10 and 11, and that is in Senate file 2869. Then back to page 2, line 51, line 52, this here bill for the House position has revenues of $201.8 million in 08-09 and $382.3 million in 10-11, for those being the net improvements to the general fund there.
Mr. Chair and members, I just mentioned in one of the differences in the revenue or that's tracked in different places that we haven't resolved yet is the securities registration revenue is showing up on in the tax side for the House. It's showing up in the economic, or, I'm sorry, the environment and energy area, actually the Commerce and PUC revenues item for the governor and for the Senate on here. So that's a difference that causes a little comparability issue in the numbers. Then in reserve changes, the governor recommended taking $250 million from the budget reserve. The Senate takes $100 million from the budget reserve and the $350 million, the total amount in the cash flow account, to help balance the budget here. The House takes $250 million from the budget reserve and also $350 million from the cash flow account for the budget balancing bill. And then the totals on the bottom line, or the line 62, 63, 64, there simply sum up the amounts that we've just reviewed and then carry through into the back page on the summary that Mr. Mossman had already highlighted.
Okay, well, members, that would, let's see there, Mr. Mossman or Mr. Marks has something else. That would conclude an overview of these broad budget numbers. Do members have questions, comments about what we've gone through? Okay, that was easy. All right. Why don't we proceed then? The intent was, is there Murphy here? We're going to proceed with Representative Leader and Senator Murphy. I know Senator Murphy was here earlier. Okay. And the respective fiscal analysts. Representative Leader, would you prefer to have the analysts at the witness table or with you? What would?
This is fine. Okay. Mr. Chair, this is fine.
And then apparently, a little bit out of order from what we expected, but we do have the State Department's side by side. And we have Representative Kahn here and Senator Betzold. Although if we don't find Senator Murphy quickly, maybe we'll go to State Department's.
Well, we could hear Representative Leader because he's been waiting, isn't it? And then just wait for Murphy after we get done with State Department's.
Okay. Let's just wait 20 seconds.
This is office close here.
And let me just indicate to the Senate conferees with all the rush to get everything done. We didn't get a chance to put everything into to binders today, so I'm going to ask that you keep, you know, put your material in your file folder, and tomorrow we'll have Jane and Kim will have a little more time to put everything together in the binders.
So Murphy couldn't get his seatbelt off or something.
Okay, Senator Murphy, if you want to take a place at the conference table. Not
oh, okay. Well, I was going to have Krista come up here, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman. And
yeah, I think the intent was to have the legislators at the table and have the fiscal analysts wherever you'd like them. If you like the fiscal analysts at the witness table or with you, that one's your call. So next to
her. Aaron, where are you at?
All right. Representative Leader, do you want to
thank
you,
you
want to begin?
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and
I'm sorry, Representative Rukavina.
Going on, are we going to be going through the
Yeah, we're going through the side by sides for each article as they become available. So right now we have Article 2 in the House bill, Transportation Finance, Article 16 in the Senate bill. So we'll listen to each of the respective chairs present the position of the House and the Senate. We'll start with Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, should I just
Representative Carlson.
I was just going to mention, it was pointed out to me for our members on the House side that the side-by-side is in the binder, but the spreadsheet is in the folder, so people can find
that's,
that.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'll just review the House, and my understanding is Senator Murphy will take the Senate side.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair and members, we don't have that much general fund monies in the transportation bill. We have basically dedicated funds, and as you'll notice in the on your spreadsheet, in 2008, actually, the House only had $200,000 that we had to cut from the general fund. If you notice, in 2008, we have zero, and in 2009, we cut $200,000. out of those funds. And then the trunk highway funds in 2008, we received $6,849,000. That was due to Representative Oberstar's special monies that he got related to the bridge. And this is authorization to spend those monies. So that's $6,849,000 in 2008. And in 2009, we had $12 million, which is used for the Department of Public Safety. Basically, they're going to become involved in changing their technology, and they need roughly $12 million a year to upgrade their computer and software system. And this is a start. This would be the first year. And they always have, because we don't have general funds, and a lot of their funds come from fees, and normally any monies that come in that area came from the trunk highway fund. So we have authorized a $12 million out of trunk highway funds. So that was in 2009. So the total for both 2008 and 2009 is $18,849,000. For the grand total for 2008, we only authorized the expenditure of $6,849,000. And in 2009, we have $11,800,000. And that's due, there's a $60,000 general fund appropriation that would take off the $12 million that's in the Department of Public Safety. So we end up with the $18,649,000 for the total for the 08 and 09. And I'll leave the Senator Murphy to get the Senate portion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Leader. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry I was late. I was hung up on my seatbelt. Representative Recovina. Mr. Chairman, we had instructions from the chair to try to reparate as much as possible. We also did the $28,000 public safety cut, and the majority of our cuts are on page R4, and under the transfers in column, we take $3 million from 08 and $3 million from 09 from the rail service account. And Mr. Chairman, we also turn back to the division, the $325,000 value capture study from the University of Minnesota, and increase a fee on R6 from $10 to $20. That raises about $10.5 million, and those are all in the spreadsheet. And I'll let Ms. Boyd talk about the spreadsheet.
Ms. Boyd.
Mr. Chair and members, there are only a few items on the spreadsheet different between the House and the Senate. If you want to go down, the House File 1812 makes a number of operating budget reductions to several aspects of the Department of Transportation and Met Council and the Department of Public Safety. Department of Transportation, we have in the House side, $19,000 cut in 09 and in the tails each year to Greater Minnesota Transit. In freight, there's a $2,000 cut per year in the operating budget. And in state road construction, that's in both sides. That's actually a spending increase in the Trunk Highway Fund to accommodate some federal funds that we received this year. Met Council has an operating budget reduction on the House side of $94,000, which the Senate did not make. And public safety, the House and the Senate both made the $28,000 reduction in 2009 for the security coordinator for the Republican National Convention. That was also in the governor's recommendations. The House additionally made an operating budget reduction of $17,000 per year from public safety support. Capital security, the House made an operating budget reduction of $15,000 per year. The Senate did not make that cut. And driver and vehicle services, that's actually a spending increase from the Trunk Highway Fund of $12 million per year for 2009, I believe through 2012, to pay for computer systems redesign. And then the last line on the spreadsheet shows the value capture study that was in the transportation finance bill. The House makes a reduction to that appropriation of $25,000, and the Senate makes a total reduction of that appropriation, $325,000. And the reverse, there's a brief summary of the revenue items in both sides. The House includes two special revenue provisions to the Department of Public Safety. There's a repeal of a special license surcharge that will, I believe, reduce $4,000 a year to the Department of Public Safety, and there is a reinstatement fee enacted that will bring in another $51,000 a year. The Senate does not have those. They're included in separate bills in the Senate, but they were not included in this bill. Mm-hmm. The rail service improvement account was not on the House side, but there was a transfer from that account to the general fund in each of 2008 and 2009 for a total of $6 million. And then, as Senator Murphy pointed out, the House did not increase the motor vehicle transfer fee. The Senate did from $10 to $20 starting in 2009. That will bring in an additional $10.2 million credited to the general fund. And then the bottom line,
what's that fee?
On the very bottom, you see the total general fund impact on the House side is a reduction in spending of $200,000. And on the Senate side, the bottom line is a reduction of $3.3 in 2008. 13.2 and 09 for a biennial total of 16.6 and 20.4 in the tails.
The doubling in the general fund.
And
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members. On the front page of the on the appropriations list here, Representative Leader has the changes for the redesign of the DVS computer system in the bill, and I do believe that we have something worked out with the governor's office and the department to create this and not have it come out of gas tax revenues, and I would hope that the conference committee would kind of give us a couple 3 days to work on that. And
well, we certainly have some time, so.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I think Senator Murphy, we have a separate bill with a fee increase. I believe that's what you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Further comments from either chair?
Mr. Chairman,
the other thing that I might want to say is that, you know, we just got done passing a pretty large funding bill, and we did not, on the Senate side, see a need to start whacking away at some of our transit programs, whether it's in the metropolitan area or greater Minnesota. And I understand that the House made a very minor cut. But the thing is that the governor proposed a large cut on top of an already on top of a deficit situation with the Met Council. And now we're going to start putting more money back in. Basically, what they would have to do is increase fares. We already have some of the highest fares in the nation. And cut routes, because that's the only thing that they can do. They're an operating agency. I don't think it's prudent to be cutting 1 year and then reinvesting the next year, because you just have to go out and buy the same things that you had before. And I would hope that we could resist the temptation to cut our transit services to balance the budget.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we also have a repealer in, and the last item is a repealer repeals a 5 cent surcharge on the veterans' license fees, and that was requested by the mm-hmm. Veterans Administration, I believe.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy,
in that regard, we have a separate bill working its way through the legislature and the issue that Representative Leader talked about. And I think the Senate has a pretty firm position supporting Representative Leader.
Okay. Thank you. If I can, Mr. Mossman, do you have any other comments relative to the governor's budget compared to where we are? You know, Senator Murphy talked about the transit area.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I think what you're referring to is just to point out that on the overall, the major dollar difference in the governor's cuts, or the entire dollar difference in the governor's cuts that's showing on the overall tracking, are the governor's $30 million cut to Metro Transit and $2.5 million cut to Greater Minnesota Transit. And so to the extent that that wasn't clear in going through the side-by-sides.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments from conferees relative to the transportation budget? Pretty quiet group today. Okay, well, thank you, Senator Murphy and Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we've got the State Department's side-by-side ready. Now, we have a problem that we're still printing copies for the public. We do have copies for conferees. So let's just take a second and distribute it to everybody at the table as we've got Senator Betzel on the conference committee. We represent Kahn here and Ms. Roberts and Mr. Lundeen. Again, members, we have a side-by-side, and we've got a spreadsheet. And I'm going to have to ask the indulgence of the people in the audience that as soon as we have this ready, we'll quietly distribute them. Obviously, this is no different than what you've seen. For those of you interested in this particular article, this is no different than obviously what you've seen on the from the House and the Senate. Like this.
I can't work upside down.
So do we all have? Okay, should we start? No, who wants to start? Senator Betzel, should we start with the Senate this time?
Mr. Chair, I just got this handed to me a minute ago. I'm just trying to make sure.
You want
to
look at it for a second?
I know what's where, but I can start going through it. Did you want I can speak to the Senate's position.
Yes.
The governor had recommended, and I'm looking through the two-page spreadsheet here, a 4% reduction in the legislative branch, the constitutional officers, the agencies that are under the State Government Budget Division. He recommended 4% reduction. We proposed a 3% to the Senate, the House of Representatives, the LCC. The governor proposed to make a significant cut of, I believe, $4 million into the carry forward for the legislature. The Senate had a $175,000 cut, as I say, for the governor's office, state auditor, attorney general, secretary of state. We proposed a 3% cut, and then Office of Enterprise Technology, a 4% cut. Perhaps I should stop there and let Representative Kahn, if she's got to go through the first page, then I can pick up on the second page.
Okay. Representative Kahn.
Yes. Okay. Ours are not that different. We did not cut the Legislative Coordinating Commission. We just cut the House and the Senate. The other ones through the on the first page are similar. There are small differences in the governor's office, $25,000 between the Senate and the House, and small differences in the and then the Office of Enterprise Technology is a smaller difference in the House than the Senate.
And Representative Kahn, can I just inquire relative to that what your thought was in terms of the 2% cut to that office as opposed to everything else?
Oh, because we've incorporated some language. It was a bill by we ended up doing 2% cuts. It was a bill by Representative Winkler, which gives them additional things to do in terms of looking at a budget, in terms of looking at the budgets for information systems for all of the House. So we didn't cut there. So we therefore did not cut their budget as much.
Mr. Chair, then
Sir Betzel.
On page 2 of 3, Department of Administration, the governor had proposed spending $185,000 as for preference for veteran-owned businesses. It would be consistent with what we do with minority-owned businesses and women businesses. The Senate did not fund that, even though we actually passed a bill last year that Senator Wergen carried, but we did not fund that. We proposed a overall reduction of the Department of Administration and Operations for 4%. Self-Advocacy Network Project, we had some increase in grants last year. We proposed reduction of the grants starting in 2009. The Office of Strategic Planning and Performance, we proposed a cutting, which would basically eliminate that office. Also, the governor had proposed eliminating Department of Public Safety, relocating, and we agreed with that. The next items, Department of Finance, we proposed reducing their operating budget by 4%. The MAP system, which is the procurement system, we put some additional funds into it last year. This is it would actually take about $56 million to replace the system. We put some patchwork money in that we're pulling back some of that money here. The Senate did not propose funding to guarantee the Republican National Convention of $14 million. We had a reduction in the 4% for Department of Foreign Relations, which is actually being eliminated in June, and their functions are going to three different agencies. This actually captures some of the savings in the merger, but it would also result in some positions that I think we wanted to protect last year that might have to be cut. The Department of Revenue, they have a proposal, would actually have a increase in revenues, but a cost for this bank data matches. We funded it at the governor's request. Tax compliance, the Senate proposed some additional funding, which would give us a 4-to-1 ratio. It's getting harder and harder to get the unpaid taxes, but this is still a proposal to get some of those unpaid taxes. Department of Revenue, we only suggested reducing it 3.1% rather than 4%, because with the Department of Revenue, when you start going any further, you are actually impairing the department's ability to collect revenues, and so then there is a net loss of general fund dollars there. The governor had proposed to eliminate the payments to the city of Minneapolis for the Target Center. We proposed to continue that per the original agreement through 2009, but then eliminated it after then. And then we carried some language that we had last year as well as in this year as well, too, to eliminate assistant and deputy commissioner positions throughout numerous agencies, not just the ones under our jurisdiction, and also to reduce professional technical contracts. Throughout a number of agencies, not just ours.
Okay. Well, on the House side, again, our reductions were in the level of 2% rather than 4% in the Department of Administration. We specifically protected some items in there which they were going to cut, the land management information systems and the Environmental Quality Board. We did nothing to the Office of Strategic Plan Performance Management, and so ours is 2% rather than 4%. Department of Finance, we also did a 2% rather than a 4% cut. We did not touch the risk management management funding. We did do the $14 million for the Republican National Convention guarantee, but that's listed as a zero balance because that is supposed to be paid back to us. And to help ensure that being paid back, we did passed, we did put in the language that allows the bars to be open until 4 a.m. That was taken out on the House floor, but it's just been put back into the omnibus for part of the period into the omnibus liquor bill in the House.
You know, Representative Kahn, if I can inquire, because I should make it clear, my introduction to appropriations was with Representative Kahn many years ago when my second term in the House, I served on the State Department's division under Senator Representative Kahn. So I learned a lot from Representative Kahn. But I may have to ask you to enlighten me. How do we segue from we understand the $14 million will be guaranteed because we keep the bars open later?
Right. We think that when the Republicans are looking at what their election prospects are going to be like in November, they're going to be doing a lot of drinking and singing.
That sounds like creative financing.
But it is out of this bill. I only just mentioned it because it did come back to life in this bill, but it's now out of this bill, and it's in an omnibus liquor bill, which will be the subject of another conference committee. So this conference committee doesn't have to deal with that. But we've been guaranteed that $14 million comes back. We wanted to do – I don't know what happens if it doesn't come back. That's a governance figure that it goes in and out. And the so we're just following along with it. I don't know what happens if it doesn't come back, but we're doing our best to see that it does come back.
Let me just make a comment about that appropriation, not so much the drinking part of it. Obviously, the Senate did not appropriate that money, and it's a pretty significant amount of money for new appropriation. In our discussion in the Senate, it was pointed out that in last year's tax bill, the conference committee did appropriate the $39 million request. I just want to mention, maybe not so much for the record, but kind of looking around the table, Senator Higgins, you were present at the 2004 Democratic Convention. I don't know if anybody else has gone to one of these conventions. I've been to – Representative Kahn, have you been to a
– San Francisco in 84, that was.
Okay, and I've been to three of the conventions.
I've been to – one was enough for me, Mr. Chairman.
And I make this comment that whether it's Republican or Democratic, and certainly I think I'm the only legislator at the table from St. Paul, and we welcome the convention. It's going to be great to have everybody in town. And as you suggest, Representative Kahn, as a prelude to the election, hope all the Republicans can have one last fling. But what's striking, and I've seen it ratcheted up, is that the corporate money available, certainly on the Democratic side, I only assume it's the same on the Republican side, is so significant. You can't tell the difference between, say, some of the major sports events and what takes place at these conventions in terms of corporate support. That and I said this to the city of St. Paul prior to any decision being made by either party to bring their convention to the Twin Cities, that I wasn't quite sure why there was going to be a requirement if the Democrats had come or now if with the Republicans coming, why we were going to have to spend in a difficult budget time millions of dollars to guarantee these conventions.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, I thought this was a major sporting event. And second of all, Mr. Chairman, I believe that this is just the equivalent of a cash flow account. That's why it goes in and out. And so it's not a deficit in the budget. And, you know, I would not have suggested this, Mr. Chairman. This went along with our cooperation with the governor. The governor did. It was in the governor's budget. We were the only, in assembling these bills, my division was actually the only one that had a Republican author of the bill as we put it together. My leading Republican co-authored the bill with me, and we moved hand in hand or step side by side as we put it together.
Okay, well, I just Representative Carlson.
Yeah, this issue is rather interesting on the House floor. as Representative Kahn and the House conferees may remember, there was a motion to strike the $14 million.
Yeah.
And that came from a minority party member. And what I did as the author of the bill, I just said, well, it's up to the body. And actually, it was the Democrats that saw to it that it stayed in. It was the Republican caucus was pretty divided on it as a result of the motion coming from their side of the aisle to remove it. But we did feel that a commitment had been made that it was going to be paid back, and so we decided to leave it in. But there is apparently mixed feelings on the other side of the aisle, at least in the House.
Okay, well, I just was curious. I mean, and again, I don't suggest that we shouldn't have the convention. I'm looking forward to it. In fact, what I am hoping is this will finally be my first opportunity. I've never been able to do it in New York, but my first opportunity to get tickets to The Daily Show. And for that reason alone, I'm looking forward to the Republican convention. So just wanted to inquire as to...
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I said, the 4 o'clock closing seems to be moving forward, at least in the House at this point. And I hope because of that item, I was being interviewed by people actually kind of around the country, including one person in California. And I had to 3 to 6 times in the course of the conversation had to correct him when he kept saying that the convention was in Minneapolis.
Thank you.
I did it every time, and he kept going back to it. And I said, you know, my colleagues from St. Paul get very upset when that's done. But I hope when St. Paul and Minneapolis are both considering whether they're going to leave their bars open until 4 a.m., I hope that factors into what St. Paul is thinking about it.
And Representative Kahn, I saw the story about the proposal in the New York Times, I think, was it Monday?
One of those days, yes.
And it was very impressive.
I think it was only in the Midwestern edition, so my 102-year-old father-in-law didn't have to read it.
And I can't speak. I don't go out to bars a lot, but my sense is, well, I think Senator Higgins, we had a whole bunch of us had dinner in Boston the Saturday night. I remember my first convention 20 years ago when Minnesota was housed a million miles away from anywhere, and came back to our hotel, which closed down, a Holiday Inn or something, a million miles away from downtown Atlanta, and delegation members walked then about 4 blocks to almost a field to what was basically an after-hours biker bar, which was open. So,
well, Mr. Chair,
Senator Higgins,
we stayed at the Radisson in by Harvard in Boston, and somebody managed to ask how late the bar was going to stay open in the Radisson the last night of the convention, and they said they were closing like at 8 o'clock or something. So we managed to throw our own party there at the hotel. Thank God there was a Trader Joe's close by. I think that the bars and restaurants in the Twin Cities area would be well served to lower their expectations about how much they're going to get during this convention, if the Boston convention was any indicator. We went into some wonderful restaurants, and they treated us like kings and queens, but they always started saying, "Where have you all been? You know, all our regular customers have left town because there were supposed to be so many of you who were going to flood the bars and flood the restaurants, and you haven't been here." So I tried to do my part for the rest of the convention.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
As long as we're telling stories. 68.
Whoa.
68, cool.
The restaurants or bars were not open because they had maced the place most every day. It didn't matter what the law said about what time the bars or restaurants could stay open, because the health department said they could not serve food with all that mace.
Representative Murphy, were you at Were you a delegate in 68? Or?
I was a delegate in 68 and 84, and I've also attended the 64 and 72 conventions.
Wow. We could listen to some stories about 68, certainly. Well, we've had a lot of discussion, Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to, and Representative Connell know what I'm talking about, but we had a conversation about the bar closing being in the bill and what the focus of the discussion might be. And tonight the conferees were rather silent until we got to this item, if you remember our conversation, if you care to share it.
Mr. Chairman, I had assured Representative Carlson, because I had had more experience with this than he has in dealing with various budget bills, that there is an enormous advantage in carrying a billion-dollar budget bill, of which the only topic of conversation is how late the bars are going to be open during the Republican convention. But it is out of this bill. I only mentioned it because it was related to the Republican National Convention. So you don't have that advantage.
Representative Carlson.
My only point was that she was right.
Well, let me just ask, we can go on to the rest of this article, but let me just ask one last question relative to this.
Okay.
Given how you've handled the justification in terms of the later bar opening, if we suggest that the bars ought to be open till 6 a.m., can we recognize more money to help with the deficit?
Well, Mr. Chairman, actually the last three cities that I've been in over the past few years, all have later. And that includes New York, Montreal, and London. London does not close at all. And New York closes at 4 a.m. Montreal closes at 3 a.m. I will admit that all I was doing at 3 a.m. in Montreal was holding a crying grandbaby. But, you know, one of the things that I've pointed out to people is that there's a sort of a cachet and an ambiance of knowing that you're in a city that doesn't shut down, which is really gives, you know, you just, even if you're not fully participating in that aspect of the city, to some of us who are perhaps grew up in more sophisticated venues, and then when we go to them occasionally, it's nice to know that the city is going around you, that's happening in that city. So since St. Paul wants to show its best face on the world, I would say that part of that best face is a sophistication that recognizes that some people's lives go on throughout the night, even if they don't.
That's okay.
It's just the image. It's the image that you're setting.
That's okay. We've got the Winter Carnival. And
and maybe after this you'll leave the bars open until 4 a.m. for the Winter Carnival.
Well, my particular interest would be if we can keep the bars open without closure, and can we book more money to help with the deficit? That would be my particular interest. So I'm not sure where we left off. Senator Frederick?
Mr. Chair, having spent the last 10 minutes talking about something that's not in the bill, I'd like to return to the spreadsheet.
That's a great idea. Senator Frederickson?
Glad to hear
Mr. Chairman,
you guys
started
trying to keep
this
bars open.
Reminiscing that you were on a conference committee with Representative Cox some years ago. Right?
Well, I was on her committee. I wasn't on the conference committee.
My first experience on Appropriation Conference Committee was sometime in the early 80s, 1983 or 1984, and I was looking across the table at Representative Kahn just like I am today, except then she was the chair of the committee. So I had an early introduction to the wily ways of Representative Kahn.
And tomorrow we can all bring our pictures from our first conference committees and show them, pass them around the table. Senator Betzel.
I think I was continuing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Kahn.
Through the rest of the we did also increased audit staff for the Tax Compliance Department of Revenue. We talked to them, and they said they would prefer 3-1 to 4-1. So we gave them a 3-1. So again, that's an additional appropriation to revenue that brings in more money. And we don't have the target center isn't in our bill, but in the bill, it was also not, the reduction was not allowed in that. Okay, and I think that's, we get to language. We didn't book money for the commissioner, deputy commissioner, political liaison reduction, but we did a 25% reduction at the governor's discretion, but we didn't book money for it. Although, obviously, if There would be.
I'm sorry, 25% reduction of deputy
of,
and assistant.
Of deputies, assistants, and then those legislative liaisons that mainly get paid by other departments. And because of the complication of not knowing, we knew that some people in certain other divisions were going to be eliminating several ones. We just put the language in without booking any savings from it. I notice you have a serious savings in that.
Okay. Senator Betzel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 3 at the top is a summary of the reductions and increases. I probably would defer to staff if they want to describe that. I'll describe the revenues that start on line 79. The actual line underneath is apparently is a house position. So line 80 is a temporary surcharge on the e-licensing. That's a program that we approved last year so that people can renew their professional licenses online. But under the Senate proposal, there would have to be a charge to do so. If they wanted to just go down to the government center and stand in line at the counter and renew their licenses there, there would not be a charge. But for the convenience of doing it online, they would do so. And frankly, we did this because it's going to be it was either that or delay the start of the program, in our view, and we wanted to make sure the program started. But this is a way to get some revenue to help the program go. We took some money from the information telecom technology account. These are the accounts that the Office of Enterprise Technology uses to help agencies with their technology needs. Facilities repair and renovation is an account that helps repair facilities. We pulled some money out of there. The tax compliance audits, because we had a higher ratio in the numbers that we assumed, we booked $16 million of the unpaid taxes. You can see, of course, the Republican National Guarantee, we eliminated that, there was no revenues there. The bank data matches, which was the governor's proposal, would net $10 million a year under the Department of Revenue's assumptions. That is where if somebody owes money to the state and there's a lien, then the Department of Revenue would send a notice out to the banks that there's over $1,500 in. The money would have to be remitted to the Department of Revenue, and that, as I say, would be some revenues to the state. Those are the net revenues, Mr. Chair.
Just touch on the issues that are related to
further.
And then I don't know if Representative Kahn wanted to go through the revenues
in the House. Well, Mr. Chairman, we had we didn't do those fee charges. We both did this facilities repair renovation. We did $500 more than the $500,000 more than the Senate did on that. We have this very little one, Secretary of State waiver of reinstatement fee of $1,000. That's for returning veterans from this war, and we've already talked about the National Convention Guarantee. We also did the same as the Senate. We did the bank data matches from the Department of Revenue. There was a lot of, I don't know if your committee, our committee had a lot of testimony or complaints about that one. Our point on that was we took that program directly from the governor's budget, and we just put our faith in the governor for having figured that out and for having assured us that it will work. And so I don't want to pretend that we've independently looked at that $20 million that we're looking at there. And we did not do the surcharge for e-licensing. We have other language items in the bill. I don't know if you want to go through those or not, side by side.
Mr. Chair, on the bank data matches, we did take some testimony within the State Government Budget Division on this issue. There are some concerns about it, but it was a governor's initiative that came in actually quite late as part of his budget proposals, and there was not sufficient time within the Senate to have brought this to the appropriate committees. I believe there was a bill that Senator Ortman introduced that went to the Tax Committee, but it was not vetted by, say, the Judiciary Committee on the data issues, the Finance Committee. for the banking issues. But we did take whatever testimony we could on this.
Okay. Thank you. Any further comments from either Senator Betzold or Representative Kahn?
Well,
Representative Kahn?
We do have language in the bill that does various other things related to the budget. I don't know if you want to go through any of that.
Representative Carlson.
And Mr. Chairman, I was just talking with Mr. Marks, and there's really two categories of language. And if perhaps Representative Kahn or Ms. Roberts could touch on some of the ones that are directly related to the financing in the bill, that might shorten it up, because we're going to have a discussion later about how we handle the some of the other language issues.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, there's no language in our bill that is not directly related to the financial issues in the bill.
Okay. Well, would you like either yourself or Ms. Roberts to just
Quickly?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, members, I can really quickly go through the language on the House side. I won't talk about the appropriation riders. I think those are directly related to the spreadsheet. But I will note on the bottom of A8 on the House side, you will see, as Representative Kahn noted, there is language stating that the reduction to the Department of Administration cannot be applied to the Land Management Information Center or the Environmental Quality Board. I think the next on R4, the top of R4 is the language related to the transfer from the facilities repair and replacement account. There's similar language on the Senate side, just different amounts. Going down to the page R5, at the bottom of R5 under Department of Revenue is the House language related to the tax compliance piece, and as Representative Kahn noted, the House provision relies on a 3-to-1 match from revenues to appropriations, and the net of that amount is $4.5 million that the House is counting. And that continues on to R6. At the very bottom of R6 is the House language related to the bank data match, and this language was taken directly from the governor's tax bill, but then moved over into state government finance.
Do you want to mention? Okay. We then, one of the things that we did do is because of the issue that they pointed about space and so forth, was language at the bottom of AA. Prioritize the use of telecommuting by employees when implementing tax compliance and tax collecting sections.
Mr. Chair, continuing at R7, Section 12 on the House side is the appropriation related to the Republican National Convention guarantee. The next item directly related to an item on the spreadsheet is, I believe, on page R9 on the House side, section 15. This is the provision dealing with the waiver of a reinstatement fee. We are counting a $1,000 per year loss to the general fund in revenue, and I believe that the Senate has a similar, if not identical, bill that is sitting in the Senate Finance Committee.
Let me, Mr. Chairman, let
President
me
Kahn.
Put in on page A8, language related to staff expenses in the legislative auditor's office.
Mr. Chair,
it's
all A8. The page, the R.
Sorry, R8. I meant R8.
R8, okay.
2 8.
Okay.
Right.
Again, if you want me to just highlight the items that go with the spreadsheet, on R10, again, is some language dealing with the bank data match, and I see that the Senate also has, if not identical, similar language. And that continues from R10 through, I believe, R12. And also,
sort of the same, the text data.
Yes. Look through. Mr. Chair, on page at the bottom of R16, beginning on line 246.4, and then continuing on to R17 through 246.28, this is the provision dealing with adding veteran-owned businesses to the targeted group program. And again, I think as Senator Betzel mentioned, the Senate did pass a similar bill last year. The House provision does have a narrower definition of the type of a veteran that would qualify. The language, just to, real quickly, the language on R17, R18, 19, 20, and through 21 is, I believe that's right, the language that Representative Kahn mentioned when we were going through the spreadsheet of the additional requirements that were added to the Office of Technology and one of the reasons that the House reduced the reduction to that agency. And let's see. Again, Mr. Chair, I think I've covered the provisions of language that directly relate to an item that's on the spreadsheet. There are some other provisions. I don't know if you want to go through them or wait until a later time.
Rosen Carlson.
Chairman, that was my reference to the items directly related to the spreadsheet when I was talking about the categories, but I don't know if Representative Kahn wants to do more or not. That's her call as far as...
kind of takes minutes to point them out. Just as such. One is on page R13, which is the use of state funds to misidentify an agency prohibited. Changing the name without the okay of the legislature. Another one is the there's a lot of language then on R15, R14, starting on R13 through R15. This is language that came to us through the Department of Administration on land sales. And what it does is puts the Department of Administration's land sales in conformance with the Department of Natural Resources land sales. And if we don't do this, it's a real mess in terms of how they advertise land sales and what they're able to do. It was essentially a housekeeping bill, housekeeping language from this department, the Department of Administration. R13, there's also... language that came to us from the Teamsters, which allowed payroll direct deposit deductions, which was a problem apparently because of the Teamsters' combination as a federal PAC, they had problems doing this without state law that would specifically allow them would specifically allow them to do that. Then on page R9 again for efficiency in state government. We changed some of the definitions that the Campaign Finance Board had dealt with. We totally removed any liability for plaques that are received. This was in honor. I'm sorry that Representative Lita has gone, but he had to pay $100 for two plaques that he got commemorating the transportation bill. Because the people who gave them to him reported it to the Campaign Finance Office. We also, I don't know if the Senate remembers this incident, but there was a whole incident with cups that were delivered by the credit union, which had our pictures on it and were valued at $15 each, and so apparently they, when people rebelled at paying that amount of money, they went around and picked up all the cups and probably shipped them off to food shelves in Kosovo or something like that somewhere. And so
there are people wondering, who is this person in my coffee cup?
Right. And so we settled that. There was some discussion about raising the amount from $5. This is a trinket or memento under $5, and we talked about raising that amount to $15, and there was some nervousness of doing this extreme act in to encourage corruption. And so we just changed the language, that we kept the $5 language, but we changed the definition to the resale value of $5 or less. And so
I do like the thought, though, of there's somebody in Serbia who's got Representative Rukavina's picture on a coffee cup.
They've shot that long ago, knowing I'm Croatian.
Yeah, that's why I'm that's exactly. That's why I wondered.
And then on R22 and R23, you know, again, we have two languages in the bill on leave to care for others, unpaid leave to care for others, and blood donation leave. That was, again, related to state employment. And I think, is that? The Help America Vote. So we have language that goes along with the Help America Vote. Help America Vote Act, using the appropriation from the federal Help America Vote Act.
Do you want me to comment on that?
Yeah.
Just to clarify that, this was came to us from the Secretary of State's office, and I believe the Senate has identical language moving somewhere that it relates to a federal audit. And a federal auditor had found that the money that we appropriated last year was some very small amount below what we should have given them, and then they're going to start charging interest on that. And so this language is to address that issue, to allow the Secretary of State to use their existing general fund appropriation to pay the interest and the findings from the auditor.
Then on R28 is our language on managerial position reductions. We then have language which is also traveling in a separate bill, and I believe Senator Dibble has it in the Senate, on the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board's condemnation proceeds. This is this is related to the 35W bridge, which requires the Federal Department of Transportation requires that all land under the bridge be owned by the Department of Transportation. So this is being acquired from the Park Board by condemnation. It's federal money. It's a friendly condemnation procedure. The Park Board is not contesting it, but the money then goes directly to the Park Board to acquire public land along the river instead of another small section to pay for this is, again, one of the reasons why we didn't cut down the Legislative Coordinating Commission. We gave them two things to do at the bottom of A8. One is to pay expenses with the Minnesota legislators' participation in legislative forum, and then the other one is to study potential services, savings that could be served by having the LCC perform administrative functions that currently are performed separately by the House of Representatives and the Senate. There are many firms much bigger than these two groups that have one human rights department, one accounting department, and so forth. And then a study of veterans' employment in state government. That was an amendment put in on the floor of the House. And then we then have an item on R31 that was brought to us by MAPE, which has to do with lifting the caps on salary limits for certain for heads of departments. This is to deal with the compression of salaries, and we also have some language that puts in the Hay system appointing salary adjustments, uses the Hay system for the salary adjustments. That was an item that came to us from me. Then on R30?
We have several repealers, part of it, one of the ones with the Department of Administration land sale provisions. Two of the repealers go along with Department of Administration land sale provisions, which I referenced before, and then repealed something which is apparently more beloved by the Senate than by the House, and that's the general statutory definition of tax and fee, saying that a tax is a fee. That was the Crinky Pogamilla decision, a Crinky Pogamilla decision. And the thing that's frustrating to the House is that the Senate totally ignores it. It doesn't send any of your bills that raise fees to taxes. But the House, being much more law-abiding, makes all our any bill that has a fee in it go to the Tax Committee. So we put it in as a repealer. One of the things that one could do if one wanted to keep this, if one is interested in keeping it, we should make it really work and remove this language in that Subdivision 19, which says it doesn't apply to the origination language of the Constitution, which doesn't seem to make any sense. And if we want to keep this, we should make it also apply to the origination language so that any bill with a fee would then originate in the House if there are tax. So
okay.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, I want to turn to Senator Bessel. And just let me make sure members understand that we have not resolved without offering any commentary on what provisions do I think in the House language is policy versus finance related, and the same with the Senate bill. We haven't made any determination yet as to how we should handle that difference. But so keeping that in mind, I do want to inquire about one section, Representative Kahn, just because I found it kind of intriguing. If you could explain. Sorry, let me
move to the other
one.
What?
On R13, section 19. I'm just curious. It doesn't look like it's finance related, but I'm just curious.
That's my.
Oh, that's fortunately Representative Rukavina is here, and he can explain that. I'll explain the financial. The financial importance of this is if you change the name of an agency, the first thing you have to do is throw out all their letterheads, change all their phone books, all that other stuff. So it has a strong financial support. But I'll let Representative Rukavina explain
And that,
it.
Mr. Chair, is a fact. I asked Representative Kahn to put this in because the Commissioner of Air and Range Resource and Rehabilitation Agency has basically changed the name and changed all the stationery and signs. So, and I just thought that it's probably against the law because in statute that's the name of the agency.
Okay, thanks.
I had a much harsher fine.
Yes, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Kahn changed it.
There were languages about ranging from misdemeanor to felony and so forth, but we struck that. We decided
if it raises some money, you could convince me.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to say that if I ever had any doubts that
100% of what she brought in related to finances, she just clarified the one that we kind of identified that maybe didn't.
Mr. Chairman, I can do it for any word in this bill.
Looks like Senator Tomasoni isn't here. He has not mentioned this particular. Oh, Senator Tomasoni, were you aware of this problem?
Or what? Range delegation.
My point.
Okay, thank you. Senator Betzold or Mr. Lundeen, do you want to talk about what we're doing on the Senate side?
Mr. Chair, if you look at page R30, there's a repealer there, and that's just referring to the Target Center payments that are to be phased out under the Senate bill. And as for policy things, I think the only thing I've described everything, Mr. Chair, that is in our bill. I think we do have some language regarding the blood donor program at the top of page R23. That came in with a fairly hefty fiscal note. It was whittled down to the language that you see that I don't think really has much of an impact anymore, but that's why it's in the bill.
Okay. Senator Betzel, I'm going to ask you a question. If you can look at the language on R30, Section 3132, and maybe just elaborate a little bit on that language.
Yeah. Which page, Mr. Chair?
R30.
Mr. Chair, this was passed on to me from the Finance Committee, since it cuts across a number of jurisdictions. But beyond just the state government budget area, we have some cost reductions in the professional technical contracts, as well as you see, non-essential travel reductions. I don't know what further you wish to have me state beyond that, but.
Well, I just wanted to it pointed out that we're hoping that the agencies, in looking at reductions, are going to look at some of the areas that do not impact on, on the FTEs and the people who are directly providing the services. Other questions or comments from other members relative to state departments? Okay. Well, thank you, Senator Betzold and Representative Kahn. We have the K-12 spreadsheet, but we don't have it fully – I think we have it prepared, but we don't have it ready for distribution. We don't have copies at this point. Is that correct? Oh, and apparently we also have to correct the side-by-sides again. So, okay. So that it's actually not ready. So Representative Carlson – this probably brings us to the end of this first meeting, since we don't have other side-by-sides and ready to go. So, Representative Carlson, I think what we talked to members would ask you to pay attention. What we've talked about is meeting tomorrow at 11:45 and probably going till about 1. Is that correct?
That's right.
And I think you have a Ways and Means
Committee? Yeah, we have a meeting that we would need to be at.
Okay. And then we would probably come back at what time? Probably about Representative Carlson?
About 5 o'clock. Or I shouldn't say about, but at 5 o'clock.
Okay. And we'll see what we have ready by way of various articles, and we'll try to let people know. Joanna and Jane, if we can try to let we won't put out an agenda as such, but maybe we could let people – both members and the public know what articles it appears we're ready to go on tomorrow. So,
yeah, Mr. Chairman, obviously I think the education one will be probably